This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by a brand new all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods: black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information or to order, call 888-841-7216 or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman.
Yes, this is from Fabio. Fabio says, hey, I'm a German guy, and I am depressed.
MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. And from now until September 15th, buy one bottle of Black for Health and get one bottle of elderberry with zinc and echinacea. Half off at MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman.
I've never heard of saw palmetto for depression or...
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, that's all he wrote, but, you know, maybe we could make a little bit of a story about that. Because there is emerging evidence that... the 5-alpha reductase medications, like Propecia for hair loss or Proscar, and also Avodart. These are the popular medicines that shrink the prostate. And oh, by the way, they prevent hair loss because they prevent the formation of a certain form of testosterone, which is 5-hydroxytestosterone, which is thought to be the bad testosterone that's responsible for prostatic enlargement and for hair loss, that it has mood effects. And unpredictably so, because in some people it's like, no, I'm fine, I don't notice anything. And in other people it's like, yeah, ever since I've been taking it, I feel kind of down. And the reason is that the male brain also is influenced by 5-hydroxytestosterone, the so-called bad testosterone. And the 5-alpha reductase inhibitors, did I say that? Yeah. Those medications tend to reduce that amount of that testosterone. So there's actually, I even think there's some lawsuits on it. You know, because whenever medicine goes bad, you know, it's like, call 1-800, sue the bastards. You know, it's like,
oh no,
have you or a loved one experienced depression after taking Proscar, Propecia, or Avodart? Call our lawyers now, you know.
Yeah.
And so there really is something to that. Now, saw palmetto is a weak 5-alpha reductase inhibitor. It shrinks the prostate, but not as dramatically or effectively as the medications. It has a bit of an anti-inflammatory effect as well, so it may help in that regard. It's mildly effective for prostate problems. It's not the bomb. I mean, if you have like a prostate that's the size of an orange, you know, it's not going to be the fix for it. It's like too late. But I take it. I take that because I want to protect my prostate. So many men experience urinary problems and urgency and have enlarged prostates. And so I've been taking it for, you know, 25 years. Now, you know, I occasionally get depressed.
And the time to start taking it is in your 30s and 40s, right?
Right, prevention. Exactly. It makes more sense than to take it, you know, when your prostate is already dramatically enlarged. I experience depression now and then, you know, especially when I watch cable news.
That would be depression for the wrong reasons.
Or listen to talk
like
radio.
Fabio.
Yeah. So I don't know what, you know, Fabio's talking about. You know, is there something inherently depressing about being a German? No, I think...
gosh, I hope not.
I hope not, because I'm studying German, and that's one of the things I'm doing in my free time. I enjoy it. I'm actually watching some series on TV, and they're a German language series, to bone up on my... comprehension of German, and it's really fun. And you know, they got that country's got a lot going for it. I mean, that is a very, very advanced country, you know, culturally and technologically, and you know, it's a lot going on. And you know, they have some of the same problems that we have here. You know, they have a big immigrant population, and they have some real political you know, craziness going on, you know, left right strife. You know, in some ways very similar, you know, to what's going on here. You know, so, Anyway, and
so many things. I think it's the Commission E in Germany that, supplements that we may prescribe here are actually prescriptions
yes.
over there.
They have a very, very advanced botanical medicine research going on there. And
yeah.
some of the things, you know, that we think are, you know, very out there. Are very much part of the German natural medicine system. You know, they call it, you know, natural healing. They have Heilpraktiker there who are, I guess, like naturopaths. And that's a very well-established tradition in Germany. And it's, you know, it's quite accepted and relatively mainstream. So, you know, what's to be depressed about? You know, the usual things. I don't think, taking saw palmetto is going to make things worse. If
yeah.
that's, if that was the question, it's a little bit of a rudimentary question. I'd want to talk to him and see what he had in mind.
Right.
What's his name?
Fabio.
Oh, Fabio.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Fabio. You know, the super handsome guy, Fabio, the muscular guy.
Right.
Yep.
Well, we hope you feel better soon, Fabio.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Okay. All right.
That was kind of an 80s thing, Fabio, right?
Yeah. I think so. Hey, you know, I remember a cousin of mine. She lived in Germany for a few months. Her husband was a professor at one of the universities over there. I don't remember what. It was a long time ago. And she said, you know, over there, when you get a cold, mm-hmm. you know, they don't tell you to take an aspirin or a Tylenol or what would be called their Panadol, I think, or
yeah.
mm-hmm. something like that. She said they give you plant enzymes or
yes.
something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very forward thinking.
There is an acceptance of this that's mm-hmm. Built into their medical system.
Yeah.
Okay. Next. Oh, let's do a pause to allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share a vital message with our listeners.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Here it goes. Naturally occurring black pigments in vegetables, spices, and seeds have been found to have powerful anti-inflammatory effects. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I'm excited about what I think may be the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new, all-natural, daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information or to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuturefarm, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman, and from now until September 15th, buy one bottle of Black for Health. You get one bottle of elderberry with zinc and echinacea half off at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make intelligent medicine a continuing three resource for you. Did I say three instead of free?
It's free. Yes.
Free.
Free. Yes. Okay. Let's see here.
$3. $3 an episode.
$3 an episode. There you go. Okay. We've got another email here. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, would you know of a reliable home scale brand? Do you think that the ones that measure body fat percentage are accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
they can be.
I mean, you actually use one to screen patients with, right?
Right. Now, that machine is several hundred dollars. It's the brand is Tanita,
mm-hmm.
T-A-N-I-T-A.
They make professional models, yeah. And, you know, what those do with varying degrees of accuracy is they measure lean mass and fat mass.
Right. Via bioelectrical impedance.
Via bioelectrical impedance. So you have to be barefoot. It runs at a little bit of an electric current through you. You don't feel it. It's subliminal.
Yeah.
Okay. The problem with that is that you're measuring the water content of the body versus the fat content of your body. It's kind of like oil and vinegar.
True.
You know, if you put oil and vinegar in a bottle and you let it sit, you know, you're going to have the, like a bilayer. You're going to have like the fat at the top, which is lighter, and you're going to have the oil at the bottom, which is denser, and you know, that's physics.
Right.
The physics of liquids. And the same thing with the body is that the body has two basic compartments, fat and lean. And so you can get a reading of approximately how much fat there is and how much there is lean. But what also partakes of lean is water. So if you are relatively dehydrated, you know, let's say you came in and, you know, it was inconvenient to pee, you know, because for women, you don't want to go into bathrooms these days with COVID-19. You know, so, you know, you don't drink. It's a hot day in New York and you come in and you do the test. Well, you might have more fat and less lean because of that. It's actually the case. So, you know, if you've just eaten the food, you know, the food doesn't register too much. But if you hydrate, you know, you might actually look like you're more muscular than you really deserve
than
to be.
Really are.
So,
and there's always, you know, a margin of error on any of these machines. And you know, back when, you know, I remember in nutrition lab as an undergrad, where we had to use calipers.
Yes.
To, you know, if you could remember that commercial, if you can pinch more than an inch.
Yep.
You know, and
that was
now,
the measurement. That was the standard. That was the standard. They used to do that. Yeah.
That was the standard. Mm-hmm. But it really is in the hands, pun intended, of. You know, it's the expertise of the person using the calipers. Yeah. So if they're using it incorrectly, you're going to get a wrong percentage. But it's really about experience with those kind of things. But you rarely use the calipers anymore because it's time consuming. Nobody really has.
Right. And then the other way to do it is the Archimedes method, which is to look at the specific gravity. And, you know, when I actually participated in experiments like this when I was a student, you know, when I would go to a pool and they would measure you on land and they would measure you in the water.
Yes.
And it was based on some buoyancy equation. And, you know, obviously, if you're like a big fat butterball, you know, you're going to float better.
You know, that method was the gold standard back when I was an undergrad. Yeah. We had to go up to Columbia and go visit the professor with the pool and do all that. Yeah.
I did. I also studied at Columbia. I studied nutrition. I did a month there while I was in medical school. And, you know, so they had us put on our bathing suits and go to the pool and they measured us that way, you know, just as part of research. Now, the technology that really is the superior technology is they do body comp analysis with a DEXA machine. And the DEXA machine is the same machine that's used to do bone density. But it also has an adaptation so that it can measure your body fat. And what's nice about that is, you know, you've seen some of the readouts. I had it done myself. And you can measure the fat and localize the fat more precisely. Like, oh, you've got a lot of fat on your arms and legs or in your buttocks. But most interestingly, you can get a read on what's called VAT, which is visceral adipose tissue, which is the interior fat that is not, you know, you may not look like you're ostensibly a big fatso, but you may have metabolic syndrome and you may have a lot of visceral fat, which if we cut you open, we might see like a real marbling of, you know, the interior of your abdomen, especially around the mesentery. And
around the organs,
Yeah, and I was happy to see that I was like less than 0.5% or something like that, which is, you know, like very good. But, you know, what would be fun is if we had one of those at our disposal and we could do our patients when they come in and then when, you know, after a program of exercise and diet and see if they get rid of, you know, even if they don't lose a lot of weight, you know, like going on the scale can be kind of disappointing. It's like, oh, crap, you know, I've been like suffering and I've only lost 6 pounds. You know, I should have lost more. But,
well,
you know,
here's the thing.
Yeah.
And it depends on the type of diet you're doing. If you're doing a low carb diet, you're going to retain more muscle mass and that weighs more than fat.
Yes.
So I tell everybody who hug their scales every morning getting up. No, you don't want to get on your scale every day. What I tell them to do, and especially women, I say take your measurements around your bust, your waist, and your hips. And you don't do that more than every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to know, you're going to be the size, oh, here I could fit into that dress again, or I'm the size I want to be. But when I go on the scale, holy smokes, why am I so many pounds more than I think I should be? Well, forget about that scale number. Yeah. The body composition is more accurate. And then that's when it's helpful to do a body composition.
And, you know, apropos of that, I reported last week on my radio program, I'll repeat it now, is they did a marvelous study of a they went toe-to-toe with a low-fat diet for weight loss versus a low-carb diet for weight loss. And I think the proportions were it was a 10-25 55 diet. Let's see, 10-25-55. Does that make sense? Yeah, like 10-25. So that's
55 diet. That's the low-fat diet.
That's the low-carb diet, because less than 10% of fat from carbohydrates, 25% from protein, and 55% from fat. Does that add up? I think it has to be 65, no?
No. Less than 10% of calories from carbohydrates.
Calories from carbohydrates, okay.
Right.
So anyway, so versus 55, 25, 10. Okay,
right.
We're like flip the script, where it was 55% carbs and very low fat. And what they found was quite nice. They found a dramatic difference. Here it is. Study focuses on low-carb, high-fat diet on older population. That was a very high-fat diet. It was 55% fat.
That's standard for a low-carb diet.
And less than 10% in carbs. So this is a real...
Yeah,
I mean, sometimes
that's a low-carb diet.
When they try to like show the low-carb diet isn't good, they go, oh, this person, these people were on a low-carb diet. Well, it was less than 40% carbs. Come on. That's not a low-carb diet.
No, that's not. No.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, so what they found here, study nutrition and metabolism, they found that egg consumption was an important part of the very low-carb diet prescription. They had at least 3 eggs per day. And what they found was there was dramatic improvement in their insulin, in inflammatory markers. There was much more weight loss. I think there was like 9 pounds versus 1 pound. And there was also, and these were individuals 55 to 75 who were obese. 8 weeks, and there was reduced risk of diabetes, and there was an improvement in body composition too.
Yeah. Over 30% of body fat.
In other words, they lost the low fat diet people lost lean muscle mass.
Yeah, which is exactly what you don't want, and especially as you get older.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you don't want. But you want your fat percentage to be below 30, because 30 is the cutoff for metabolic obesity. Right? That's an important risk factor.
Yep.
So you could be of a so-called normal weight, even a normal BMI. But if you have a body fat percentage of 30% or greater, we call that metabolic obesity.
Right. And it's actually a more accurate way than weighing people.
Yes.
Or using BMI. I like the body composition, because the body composition is a better predictor. Because we've had some people who look ostensibly okay. And this is particularly in, Asian females. Asian females are more prone to metabolic syndrome when they appear to be normal weight. So, a 5'5", 135-pound Asian female might seem, ordinary, but they might have pretty profound imbalance between lean and fat in their body composition, and they might have visceral adipose tissue.
Right.
That puts them at risk.
Right. Yeah. Isn't that interesting how it can be different among ethnicities?
Yeah. I mean, because the relative, I mean, it's again stereotypical, but the relative petiteness of some Asian populations. Okay, so do we have another question? I think we do.
We do. In fact, let's see. This is from Marianne. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, my husband and I take the Protocol for Life Balance combination product MK7. with vitamin D3, which is a beautiful, I take that myself.
Okay.
The MK7 of 180 micrograms with the D3 of 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And Marianne says, I've read that the dose for MK7 recommended for the regression of plaque is over 300.
Mm-hmm.
I've been giving my husband an additional 2 90-microgram capsules of MK7 per day.
Mm-hmm.
And I accidentally purchased the one that is extra strength, which is over 300 micrograms. Should I just return this, or could he just take this every other day, or would it be toxic?
It's kind of hard to overdose. The only instance where you wouldn't want to take that much vitamin K is if you're on Coumadin, but it won't become toxic for sure.
Right.
What vitamin K does is it works on, matrix GLA protein, which has an impact on preventing the deposition of calcium in soft tissues.
Right. I just did a podcast speaking to that there was a study that found inactive matrix GLA protein. When it's inactive, that's actually a marker for not enough vitamin K.
Oh, wow.
Because in order for it to become active, that matrix GLA protein, you need vitamin K.
Oh, it activates it. Okay.
Yeah. It was a very interesting study. Yeah.
And it also, matrix GLA protein plays a role in bone morphology too.
Yes.
So you're going to get, the simplified version of it, without getting into fancy molecular biology, is that vitamin K2 acts as a crossing guard for calcium.
Yes.
And it tells the calcium to go to the right places and stay away from the wrong places.
Yes.
So,
great way to put that,
yeah.
And just so people aren't confused, when we're talking about vitamin K2, we mean MK7.
Mm-hmm.
K1 is a little different. Part of the matrix, K1 is the stuff we find in our green leafy vegetables.
And some fruits, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and some fruits. I like to call that like the wallpaper of the vitamin K, but the real important kind of stuff is K2, which you get in supplement form as MK7.
Right.
Yeah.
So, a very valuable supplement. Now, the question is, what's the threshold that's going to help prevent CART disease? That's not been that well established.
Yeah.
There's some negative studies on MK7 where they may have not done it long enough, or they've not used adequate doses, but there have also been some positive studies. Epidemiologically, countries where they consume a lot of vitamin K, like, with cheese being a source of vitamin K, there's protection, but there may be other factors involved.
That's true. That's true. The main sources of getting vitamin K2, meat, cheese, and natto.
Yep. Natto is a source.
Right.
Natto
right.
is not too delectable for most Americans, though, so take the supplements.
Yeah. So, Marianne, thank you for that question, that very important question, because the latest is saying 300 I remember a couple of years ago saying that, we were giving everybody 90 micrograms of vitamin K2 twice a day for a total of 180.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe that whole thing should be doubled. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Maybe we can do a little follow up on that.
Yeah.
Just see what the research says on that subject. But it's emerging science, as much in nutrition is. Well, thanks for joining us. That's all the time we have for today's edition of the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, our weekly Q&A with Layla.
Yes, and do remember to email your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com.
Indeed. That will be fodder
we look forward
for
to
next
this.
Week's program. Thank you, Layla, for joining us. Stay
Thanks,
safe.
Thanks, Dr. Hoffman.
I'll see you in the office. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.